Welcome to the Bougie Black Brother Network. Good evening and welcome to Fade Black Cinema. I'm Michael, your Bougie Black Brother. And I'm here with my co-host, Alicia.
Hello.
So, we went to a late movie today, and this one was a little out of the ordinary, but we've been trying to, test the waters with horror movies that came out. The last one we saw was, Quiet Time, with the people being had to be quiet or they was gonna get killed. So I thought that one was something that was worthwhile seeing, but this time we went to see a movie called Hereditary, and this was something that Alicia really wasn't on her list.
No, but it wasn't.
But what made this interesting was, you know, like when Alicia picks out, because she picked out the last one that we went to, which was an independent movie, Upgrade. And so this was my pick to say, okay, let's try this.
He knows I hate horror movies.
Yeah, so she's not really, I want to do a horror movie. No, she doesn't do those.
No, but I don't. But this one's,
Then when I read, it was a lot more intelligent. It was a lot more story-based. So what was the critic ratings on this?
The critic ratings was like an 86 or 96, something like that.
On
Flickster.
The Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes had it at, give me a second.
Metascore was 86.
Right, Metascore was 86. Hereditary, it was 92 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
For the critics. These critics.
That's pretty high.
Yes, it was. Now, of course, you got those other folks.
Your regular viewers was what?
59. They did not like it.
59. And IMDb, right? Internet Movie Database.
Had it at...
I show 8 right here.
Okay.
What do you show?
8. Yeah, it was 8.
Yeah, so 8 is fine. 8 is a good movie to see, especially a horror movie, because, again, they don't get rated high regardless. But this was really something different. So what was this one about? Hereditary. There's the long version and then there's the short version.
Give me the short version.
The short version is, after the family matriarch passes away, a grieving family is haunted by tragic and disturbing occurrences and begin to unravel dark secrets.
That really don't say too much.
What okay, let me read the other one.
Yeah, read the other one.
Okay. Ari Aster, in his feature directorial debut, stars blah blah blah, and follows a family that begins to be haunted following the death of their reclusive grandmother. And that was it.
What?
Yeah, so that's fine. We're gonna talk about it anyway. I don't have to get a synopsis.
Oh my gosh.
Because the synopsis is really, really vague.
Vague. Very vague.
So it starts off. I'm gonna give you a picture of how it caught me. So when it starts off, it shows a lot of models. You know, they go in and there's like crafts and stuff all over the place. And we find the main character, Annie, which is an actress, Toni Collette. She does models. So they show these models in the house and they was, you know, swinging from one side to another. And then it's a close up of one of the houses, and then it goes directly into one of the rooms, and it shows like someone sleeping in the bed, a little laundry basket right there, and all of a sudden you hear a knock and they come into the room, and you're kind of like, oh shit, the model becomes real. And then what you find out throughout the movie, she takes real events and replicate those and make models of real actual events.
Right. It's okay. So I'm not trying to. It's like miniature.
Yeah, miniature houses.
Right. Right. Just want to. Yeah. What people.
No. 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 That's cool. Yeah. Yeah. Make a true visual. These models. These replications.
And of she, historic.
Not just areas.
Yeah. Yeah.
But what she did. She did things going on in her life, whether it was good or bad. She just drew replications of all of those replicas. And it was like creepy. It was creepy as fuck. Right. But anyway, so that's what it started off. And what started off was they're going to their grandmother's funeral and they're looking for the young daughter. And the young daughter is up in a treehouse they made because the father, you know, went and looking for the son. He wakes the son up. And then he said, did you see your sister? No, I didn't see my sister. Then he goes into the treehouse and there she was. And they had to get dressed so they can go to the grandmother's funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So, cool. They don't get into major details of what happened with her. But during the funeral, the daughter, and there's... And I think the great thing, and let's talk through that, baby, because I think we talked through it right after the movie,
mm-hmm.
was the level of detail.
Yes. That yes, I was in my head, I was thinking that too.
The level of detail that was being shown.
Yeah, so, throughout the movie.
Throughout the movie.
Right.
So at the funeral, what did you see?
I'll start with
when she went up on the stage, it showed that she had a necklace. And a necklace that had some funny looking symbols on it.
Right.
But come to find out, her mother had the same one. So that was interesting to me because I was kind of like, that don't look like anything familiar. So level of details, pass on that.
Right. And on my what I seen mm-hmm. was the fact that someone touched the grandmother's lips in the coffin.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the daughter, the little girl, seen it.
Yeah, she was watching.
Right, watching.
You know, the people as they walked up. Because she looked down at her grandmother when she passed. Didn't she look back? Did you see who she was looking at?
She was looking at the lady.
Uh-uh. She was looking at a man in the corner, and he was smiling at her.
So it must have been a spirit.
Or it was one of those, what we found out later, someone else.
Right.
Hint. But yeah, but she looked back and this guy was just like a big grin on his face, like, hey, how are you? Or yes, I'm who I am. Like something that acknowledged. So it was, and you never seen him involved in anything throughout the movie.
You just seen him that one time.
I just seen him that one time.
Mm-hmm.
So that still was kind of like, what is going on?
Right.
So these little things that you see going on means a lot later on in the movie, but you don't realize that.
Yeah, because you saw things that I didn't see.
Exactly.
I seen things that you didn't see.
No, I saw it, but it didn't mean anything until you said it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did see it, but I was kind of like, oh yeah, that's right. Oh, but there's some things that it just meant more throughout the movie. So what makes this movie a really, I'd say, very, very good movie is because everything that they laid out for you meant something, whether it was vague, whether it was talked about, you know, small or short. Doing her little, you know, the obituary thing, she said, my mother was very, very secretive. You know, she had dementia or whatever. I wish we would have was able to be a little closer, but we was really, really a little different distance from each other.
Yeah.
So that was something that she kind of said at the funeral. Right. Told everybody.
Right.
But she had some boxes. You remember that?
Yeah.
She had some boxes her room.
Mom's things or something like that.
Yeah. Right on the top of the boxes.
Right.
And there was books and photo albums.
Yes. And she vaguely, I mean, just,
you know, briefly look through it.
Yeah, and then put it back
in. Close it up and like, yeah, whatever. But then, you know, there was a reoccurrence all throughout the movie. There was spirits in the corner. There was always a spirit of someone showing in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of like, are they really there? Are they thinking about them?
Right, right.
But it never gave you the yes, it was them, or no, it wasn't them. It just gave you the images that was occurring. So, you know, after that happened.
So
let's talk about the characters, because the characters' personalities was really important throughout the movie.
Okay, so before I forget this.
Go ahead.
Okay. When her mother died, mm-hmm. they took her body out of the dirt, right? Out of the grave.
Okay.
But they didn't expect the girl to die. They was going to do something anyway with the grandmother.
So you didn't know they took the body though?
No. Well,
you didn't know they took the body.
Take the body of the grandmother?
Yeah, you didn't know that.
But he got the call.
He said they desecrated the actual grave.
Right.
But remember that means they could have, you know.
But he had an email with the picture of it. They did.
No, yeah, after that was way down. So, you know, the way you're saying it, it happened just as it happened when he got the call. No, right. He didn't know that. So the vagueness of the movie was fantastic, because you had to kind of like remember that. So when it came back up, you kind of understood. So most of the time when you hear about desecration of people's graves, usually people like throw cans
on
the tombstone.
Of course.
Or knock this tombstone over.
Right.
But they never gave you details of that.
No, they didn't.
They just said, hey, people desecrated the grave. He didn't tell his wife because he didn't want to upset her. But, you know, based on the conversation, they didn't have a good relationship anyway. Mm-hmm. So you was kind of like, maybe they really didn't care. Maybe they didn't. Until she sat down with the support group and said her mother and her was off and on.
Man, that was some crazy shit talk.
And she was just rambling like a motherfucker.
Yeah, because at first I was like, this bitch is crazy.
Yeah, but at first she just talked about her mom.
But they wanted you to think she's crazy.
Exactly. So throughout the movie, Toni Collette or Annie was actually just doing crazy stuff.
Yep.
But here's
and hallucinating
where,
too.
Here's where it gets you. She introduces her family as having mental illness.
Yes, so, she did at the talk.
Yeah. So in your mind, if she's probably inherited some of the mental illness, hence the word hereditary.
Right.
Of the movie.
Right.
So
right.
It gave you the impression that she was psychotic as well. Okay. But, you know, who knows? Then you find out that she was sleepwalking.
Right. But was she sleepwalking?
Or wasn't she sleepwalking? Was she hallucinating?
Yes.
Or was she really doing something?
Yes,
some
because
of this
she,
stuff?
I mean, it was like three, when she was dreaming, it was like three different. You didn't know which dream she was in. The first one, you knew she was dreaming.
Yep.
Then the second one, you was like, okay, she woke up.
Mm-hmm.
Then you was like, oh shit, this is the third one.
And then it was like,
she trying to kill her son.
Her son.
But, you pull my hair. But it was weird.
No, before that, it was weird that one of the ladies. So she met some lady that happened to be in a parking lot with the support group. And this lady was like, if you need any help,
but remember,
I don't
that
normally
was,
do that. That was after her mother. Okay, we missed the whole part. I'm sorry. There's a daughter. And her daughter was weird as fuck.
Like, remember,
she'll make this noise like.
No, she did.
And she would do that like a nervous tick.
Her name was Charlie.
Charlie, and she was weird. She
Charlie
was just a
was
weirdly,
really weird.
Weird child.
Right. So
she looked weird.
Yep.
She was weird.
Yep.
And she had a peanut allergy.
Right. And remember, she was raised by her
grandmother.
Yep.
Because Annie said since she didn't allow her to have the son, she would just say, look, at least have the daughter.
Right. She said her second child, she was going to give that child to her mother.
And I don't think I should have done that. But, you know, since some things in my life I just shouldn't have done. But she didn't give any level of details and everything.
Of why
or what was going on. And the daughter was like, who's going to take care of me?
Since
grandma's dead. Exactly. She's like, well, I'm with you here. She said, what's going to happen when you're dead? And she was like, Peter and daddy will take care of you. And the child immediately turned over like, this is crazy. She was very upset when she was told that.
Yeah, because she said, I miss my grandmother.
Yeah.
Because that's who raised her.
That's who raised her. So let's go to that image that really was very disturbing as well. So Annie made another one of the miniatures of her in the bed with her child, but her mother standing over her with her breast out, ready to breastfeed her goddamn child.
Yes, yes.
I'm like, first of all, it's weird as hell anyway for it to happen.
Yes, it was.
It's extra weird for you to actually make a miniature of that shit.
Yes, it sure
is. And I was like, what the hell?
And that was, and you know, which was so cool because that was a visual of her life.
Exactly. So she was replicating things in her life. She also did another one. I think that's when so I'm not sure what portion it she told this, but she said, yeah, I used to sleepwalk. And when I used to sleepwalk, there was an instance that I poured turpentine over
me,
Charlie and
Peter
and myself. And I woke up when I lit the match.
Right.
And then I woke up, but I didn't do anything. I didn't really do it. I didn't do anything. So her son always thought, why do you hate me? Why do you want to kill me? She was like, I didn't want to kill you. And later on in the movie, she was like, I never wanted you.
No, let's go back.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, so anyway, because we got to talk about
Charlie.
Right, thank you.
So
the third character.
Yeah, so Charlie, the weird daughter of Annie that was raised by the grandmother. So, you know, after the grandmother died, you can see that Charlie saw visions of her grandmother. And it kept showing them flashes here and there.
Right.
Charlie was doing crazy stuff. She cut the head off a bird and put it in
her
pocket.
No.
So while she was in class.
Right.
And this is, I think you missed this. There was a light in the classroom that just flashed and just flashed around. And then it flashed a second time. But that was later on. But the bird hit the damn window and fell down.
Right.
And, you know.
On the bushes.
So during recess or whatever, she goes downstairs. I mean, she goes outside.
Find the bird.
And cut the goddamn head off.
Now, notice all of this now.
Mm-hmm.
Her head cut off. First the bird head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Then her situation.
That situation didn't occur yet.
All right,
but she cut the head off.
Right, right.
So she turns around and looks through the fence, and her grandmother was standing there waving at her.
Yes, she was.
She didn't wave back. She just looked at her. And it was kind of like, is she acknowledging her? Is she hallucinating? Mm-hmm. You don't know, because the child is weird. So she doesn't give you much emotion of anything. So anyway, so later on that day, the son wanted to go to a party because he got texted by one of his friends.
Right.
But her mom said, Annie said, well, does your sister want to go? He's like, I don't know. Did you ask her? No. Then she said, well, you going to go with her. So during the funeral, Charlie eats like bars of fucking candy bars. Yeah.
And they asked her.
But asked her, hey, is there any peanuts in there? Because we didn't get your EpiPen or whatever. I forgot what you call it, but the one that billionaire guy went to jail for raising the prices up. And, so that asshole. So that happened there. So with that said, when he took her to the party, he saw one of the girls from the class and he wanted to get high with her, but he told her, hey, there's chocolate cake over there. Go get some chocolate cake. You know, and she was like, I don't know them. And he said, just get the cake before it runs out. So he gets upstairs, he's getting high, she's eating the cake. But then you can see her kind of getting really,
she started gagging.
But she didn't realize it yet. So it took her a while to realize something is wrong. But once she realized that she couldn't breathe, she went and found her brother. And he grabs her and they race, try to race to the hospital.
Right.
But while racing to the hospital, she couldn't breathe in the back seat. So she opens the window.
I'm scrunching right now.
And trying to breathe.
I close my eyes.
And there's a deer on the road or some kind of animal laying in the road.
Yes, yes.
And he swerves.
Yes, yes.
And when he swerves,
yeah, go ahead,
there's
go
a
ahead.
Pole. Yes. And bloop.
She hit her head to it
and knocks her head off her body.
And he is like.
And he just breaks.
Stop.
And he stops. And this He's is in just shock. Such. Yeah, he was in so much shock. Because he slowly looked in the rearview mirror, and this is what I missed, because he looked out on the road, and I thought the whole body was out, but he was looking at the head, and then he looked back in the back, and I didn't really see clearly, but obviously he saw the body still in the car.
Yep.
And then he just drives off slowly.
Yes, he did.
He drives off slowly.
Now, this is the thing. Was that thing in the road for real, for real?
Yeah.
Okay.
So because,
I was just thinking
remember,
maybe
later on, this was actually an accident.
Right. It was
intentional.
It was an accident. That's right. Yeah. We did say that.
It was an accident.
So he slowly drives the car home.
And
parks
the car.
Walks into the house.
And gets in the bed.
Couldn't go to sleep.
He's just there.
His mom's is getting ready to go up.
So in the morning.
Yep, she gets up
and you hear her say, "Hey, I gotta go pick up some things. I'll be back in 20 minutes."
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, she just screams.
And that's what he was waiting for.
He was waiting on his mom to acknowledge, "Hey, look, my sister's dead, without a head." Mm-hmm. You know, even that. So what made this more dramatic is, you just saw a couple of scenes ago. She was at the support group. Saying her grandmother died.
Yep.
By the way, my father died because he had some mental problems and he starved to death.
Yep.
And then my brother that I had, he hung himself because he said their mother put some people in him.
Yep.
And he killed himself.
Yep.
And now you got the daughter being killed by the son,
which was an accident because he was trying to save her life because she ate the cake
and she was allergic to peanuts and stuff. So really, like, wow, how much tragedy in a person's life can they have? So what did that sound like? You know, again, you painting pictures of what this story is about, and you're looking at, you know, again, it's hereditary. So if it's hereditary, is it some psycho stuff that people, you know, live through, people, you know, just whatever. So when you trying to kind of understand this, they're giving you hints, but they're not really telling you everything. So I just found it so fascinating because I really thought, this is bad luck for this family. What is the curse that's on his family? So they kind of made it like if it was a curse. Then they kind of made it like not just a curse, or maybe it was just, you know, some mental problems in this family because everyone has an issue. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you really didn't know. And it made it a lot more interesting because you didn't know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You just didn't know. So then you move on, and again, you're moving on, but you kind of like, I thought, you know, based on the previews, the evil thing was her and she would be throughout the movie, you know, just like Annabelle or one of these other little puppet head looking kids or, you know, orphans. I just thought the little girl would have been the evil one throughout the movie.
Right. She was just weird.
She was just strange.
Yeah. She was just very weird. So, all that happening, you know, that's when you started to, the mother had this meanness, this evilness against her son. And it was much more deeper than that with her son.
Right, right. But she didn't love her son as much as she wouldn't. She didn't want to have him. So sooner or later, you found out she didn't really want to have a son.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she.
And she just yelled out because she was kind of like, why do you hate me? Why do you want to kill me? She was like, sorry, that's just one time. And she, it always goes back to the time, man, that she tried to burn his ass up.
Yep. And that's another thing, too, because you felt for Peter. You really felt for him because you could see he played that role.
It was bad because he was kind of like, Jesus, you know what I mean? What can I do?
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I mean?
He was already hurting with the fact that he killed his sister,
mm-hmm.
and it was an accident. Then his mother blamed him for everything, even though she was the one that told him to take her,
mm-hmm.
But it was his fault.
But it's his fault.
Yeah. And the father, of course, was protecting him.
So throughout the years, he was protecting him because obviously he knew her family was fucked up and really, really had some serious mental issues.
They did.
So he tried to protect the son, but he didn't realize how much he was protecting the son. So then with that happened, she's trying to grieve over her daughter's dying, and she tried to go back to the support group, remember?
Yeah.
So when
now,
she goes,
the first time she went,
that's when she was rambling on,
right? And that lady wasn't there.
No, she wasn't there. But this time, this woman shows up. She wanted to go in, but she was like, nah, I can't do this. But the lady stops her in the parking lot, and she turns around and says, hey, you know, if you want to talk. She said, no, I forgot something. She said, let's go in. You can go in, or we can have coffee. And then Mila, she said, oh, wait a minute. Let me just tell you, I lost a son as well and a grandson.
Right, right. There you go.
So then she caught her. She was like, oh, I'm so sorry. So Annie was like, oh, I'm so sorry, and blah, blah. She said, I don't normally do this, but here. So she writes her address because I thought it was a phone number. But she wrote her address on a piece of paper and handed it to her.
I thought it was a telephone number.
No, it was the address because remember when she had it in her hand and she was looking up, it was kind of like, that's the address. You know
okay.
what I mean?
So, okay.
So she put the address in there, but she went away. Then all of a sudden, I think it was the next morning or so, you see her walking to the to the lady's house.
Yeah.
So she come in, you know, a little small talk. And then she said, well, how's your relationship with your son?
Yes. Yes.
So then I was kind of like,
yes.
Why is she asking about her son?
Well, I assumed that when she lost her daughter, that and her son was the one that killed her daughter,
mm-hmm.
that's why she mentioned the relationship with her son.
Yeah, but it's...
It was much deeper than that. Yeah, it was much deeper than that.
But that's when Annie told her about trying to burn his ass up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And yeah. Then she started taking her pills, and she took a sip of the tea, and it was like a piece of something inside.
Yeah, it was some herb or leaf or something.
Some kind of leaf or ash or whatever.
Yeah.
I was kind of like,
now,
yeah.
That could have been, the tea could have triggered all those things that she was seeing after the fact.
It's like hallucinating or whatever like that.
Yes, because she was sounding kind of crazy after that.
Yeah, so she started going through some craziness, but... The lady again, and this was the lady that she met. Her name was Joan. She had a little, you know.
Yeah, you know her from, what is it?
Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, Handmaid's Tale, yeah.
So, yeah, Anne Dowd. But her name was Joan, but if she had like a mat in front of her house that had Joni, and she was like, this looks familiar. And then you find out later, and I'll just jump to it. She found out later that. Yeah. Her mom made those mats.
Yes, she did.
So she made mats like that. But that's why she was familiar with it. But anyway, she meets her again when, before that, she's at home and she's doing some more miniatures. Then the husband come in. She's making a damn miniature of her son with the body of her daughter hanging out the window with their head on the side of the road.
Cut off
with a pole that's what happened. And he was like, please don't show Peter this. What the hell is wrong with you? She said, this is just a something kind of reenaction. And you see him, this is Gabriel Byrne, her husband Steve. You see him like, what the fuck is going on with you?
Yeah.
And he's kind of like, Jesus Christ. I don't... So then he walks out and is like, I just made dinner. He said, you ready for dinner? She's like, I'm going to cook dinner. He's like, no, I made dinner.
Yeah,
he sure. He said, I don't give a fuck. Come down here or not. I don't care. And I was like, damn, he's getting fed up.
And that's when she went crazy on her son.
Yeah. No, his son looked up at her and said, like, what's you got wrong? Anything to say?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have anything?
Don't look at me this way.
And she goes the hell off.
Like, yeah, she did. Jesus, crazy. She went off on that boy. I was like, I felt so bad for him.
What was that all about?
I felt really bad for. I mean, because it overall the movie just kept coming to him, you know. And it was like you wait for him to commit suicide.
Yeah, like he was just give up.
Yeah, that's how I was like, damn, is he going to commit suicide?
But he had his dad. Yeah, so I think that stabilized him. Even though he loved his mother, his dad was protecting him.
Yeah.
So he had his dad. So I think that's the only thing that truly stabilized him. Because everything that went wrong, even at school, she didn't show up.
Yeah.
His dad will come get him.
Yeah, his dad was there.
And
then
go from there.
Yeah,
so.
He was going off on her, too.
Yeah, but she was kind of like, no, you don't understand.
But she was seeing a psychiatrist. Because remember he was saying, you need to go back and start seeing the doctor?
Nope. Don't remember that part.
That part when she pulled him down. He was on the phone. I think he was on the phone, or he was emailing somebody about her.
Right.
You remember the email he was typing?
Yeah. She says she's going back to something, exactly. something.
So that was, he was contacting the doctor, and that's when I remember him saying, well, you need to go back and see the doctor.
Okay. So I missed that part.
Okay. And then that's when, I think that's the part when, the book.
What book?
The one that Charlie was writing in, drawing.
No, see, you missed the whole part.
Okay, so okay, I'm going.
Yeah, you went too far. So Joni, met her in a parking lot, met Annie in a parking lot, and said, hey, the most beautiful thing has happened to me. And she started telling her that these people with a seance, I was able to talk to my son and my grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just show you. I need to just show you. So she brings her to her house, and they go through this seance ritual, and
Annie freaks out.
Annie freaks out because they put their hand on the cup, and the cup just starts moving around based on what she was asking her grandson to do.
Right.
And then she put a chalkboard down
and told him to
write something, and it says, I love you, Grandma. And, you know, Annie just started hyperventilating, like, oh my God, what the hell's going on? Now, remember now, throughout the movie, Annie's family has mental issues.
Right.
So was she really seeing this? Was this really going on? You really don't know. You can take it as face value and say, okay, here comes the horror part. Here's the supernatural part. Or you can say, Annie's is now starting to have mental problems like the rest of her family.
Right.
You don't know. So again, the vagueness of everything just made this so good, because you had to follow and say, I'm going to have to take what I see, but I don't know which is real and which is not. So I have to go along with the ride. So, but sooner or later, she was listening and she saw that, and that night, I think she went into the bathroom and started reciting it. You remember?
Right.
And you just hear her behind the door just reciting hub habla kubade chigida blah blah boo 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 whatever. But she did all of that. And then she wakes up and said, hey, look, everybody get up. Oh, I love you. Get up. Come up, and I need for you, all of us, to just come downstairs. And they was kind of like, what the hell? And her son, Peter, was like, come on, Dad, just do it. Just do it. And they hold hands. And the father was like, you are out of your mind.
Yep.
Why am I keep doing this?
Yep.
And you
sure
can tell
did.
He was like so fed up with this. But he did it for his son, because his son said, okay. And she said, Charlie, are you here? Charlie. And he's kind of like, get off of me. And then you see the glass just same thing that happened at Joan's house. Like, the glass just takes off.
Yeah, and did he look underneath the table then?
Yeah, he was kind of like, what the fuck? No, he looked under the table when the candle flame just shot up in the air.
Yeah, she did.
And the son was like, don't you hear the air? Don't you feel the air in here? It just, the air has just did something.
Right.
And
right.
So after that, it was kind of like, what the hell's going on? And she was like, no, come on, put the book down. And then we put the book down and she was telling Charlie to write something. But the father was like, I'm not playing with this bullshit. And he just closed the book up. And then something else traumatic happened. And then they was like, I'm out of here. So from that point, she was kind of like, oh, Charlie's here. I know it. Charlie's here. We can speak to her. And then it takes a whole different kind of supernatural turn.
Right.
Because she went to, and that's when you went to the bathroom. She went to Joan's house and said, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. And she's knocking on the door. And the camera shows the inside of the house. So in the inside of the house, there's like sheets on the wall and candles. And there was a table with candles surrounding a picture. And then a close-up comes up. And the picture shows of Charlie with the eyes poked out.
Oh.
In her house. So now it makes you kind of think, is there a Joan or is she making this shit up? You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Did she do this? So you don't know, like, what the hell? Is Joan really a person? Is this a figment of her imagination? Because I think when she went home, remember, she laid down and she couldn't sleep, and then these ants was on the bed.
Right.
And then the ants start coming out of the window.
And there was a trail going into her son's room.
Right. And then she walks into the room.
And his head was off.
No, his head was off. All the ants was over his face and in his mouth.
Right.
And she was like getting ready to scream. And he says, Mom, what the hell is wrong with you? What are you doing in here? And he was like, she was like, what?
Is you sleepwalking again?
What? And then she goes into another rant saying, I didn't want to have you. And, you know, I wasn't trying. I'm not going to kill you no more. And she goes like that. And he's kind of like, you're crazy. You know what I mean? So now the turn is the son sees Charlie in the corner. Then all of a sudden, the head falls off,
and it was the ball.
Head was the ball. So, and he keeps hearing sounds like or whatever that sound is.
But he started to see the light too.
So he saw it twice.
Yeah, he started to see the light, and so when he started to see the light, it was just weird things started to happen. I think he saw it. What was he saw it in school first?
Yeah, he saw it at the house at first.
Okay,
and then he saw it at school, and then he was kind of because remember when he saw it at school, he looked inside. The reflection of the cabinet
and his face was smiling.
And he's not smiling, but the face in the reflection was smiling. So he didn't know what was going on, but he knew something is definitely freaking wrong. And he knows that there's a spirit or something haunting him. And he knew it was his sister because he killed her. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But you know, it was kind of like, I don't know what to do. So he was really confused. The poor kids was having, he was having panic attacks and shit. And he getting high, he's getting panic attacks. And, you know, he calls his dad crying. I'm crying in the hallway.
And his dad come pick him up.
Picks him up again. So, but again, all of this leads to, why is all of this happening?
Mm-hmm.
Why is this happening? So that's the meat of it. But what it comes down to is a grandmother, and because when she finally opens up the books and pictures and everything, come to find out the goddamn Joan is part of a cult that her grandmother was part of. And not only they was part of, she was the leader of these motherfuckers.
Right.
And not only she was the leader of it, they was trying to raise up the one of the seven devils that will lead the earth.
Right. But and remember, her daughter, when she opened up the book, she saw all that stuff. They were highlighted in the book in her mom's box.
Right. Like,
the necklace, the symbol on the necklace. Yes.
She saw that they were worshiping the family picture. Remember? They showed the family picture, and then they showed a picture on the wall, and there were people kneeling before it. and they had a picture of the father, the mother, the son, and the daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But they was kneeling toward the picture.
Right.
And she was like, what the hell is this? So that's when I think she went upstairs, and there was a, because something made her go upstairs. I don't even know why. To the attic. I don't remember. Do you remember why?
No, I can't remember why she went up in the attic.
But she went up there, and she was just looking around for stuff, and it was like flies, you know. You know, usually with flies and it's, smells.
It's dead bodies.
There's something dead. But it was a dead body up there with no head. And that's when it flashes to the father, and the father gets some pictures of the desecrated grave, and everything's pulled out. There's no body, there's no nothing in there. It actually dug up the body and the coffin, and everything was just uncovered. So now you knew, not only was it uncovered, it was somebody took the body
and put it upstairs in the house.
So, you know, when the father got home, she said, I gotta show you something. And he was kind of like, not again. You killing me with this bullshit. And she was like, no, you gotta see this. I tried to burn this book and I couldn't burn it because I caught on fire.
Yep,
so I know I can't do it, but you gotta do it.
But remember, he went up to the attic.
He went up to the attic and he's like, are you kidding me?
Why you took the body out?
He said, you the one who took the goddamn body out of the grave. She's like, no, I didn't do that. I don't know who that is. And then she gives him the book, and he walks with her, and he kind of like, oh my God, yeah, whatever. And then she's like, go ahead, please, I love you, throw it away, burn it, go ahead and burn it. And then he was like,
I ain't doing
this. I'm not doing this shit. So she takes it and she throws it in, and I knew this was going to happen.
You did?
Yeah. So I thought when he threw it in, because the way she put the turpentine on the book, I knew she threw it on him. It was some that was on him. So I thought he was going to catch fire, or she had some that was leaked all over the floor. So as soon as he threw it inside of there, he would catch on fire.
Right, right.
I just didn't realize when she threw it in there, his ass would catch on fire, because it would like, boom, and then the flames burst out of there and he caught on fire. And I'm kind of like, what the fuck? And she's like, and then all of a sudden, she becomes calm. And I'm like, the fuck is that? But before that,
now I remember,
we forgot.
We forgot about her son.
Peter was at school, and all of a sudden, he looks like
the light came through.
Yeah, the light came through, and he's looking around like, what the fuck?
Yep. And his body started what?
Like distorting. He was kind of like having spasms.
And everybody was looking at him like,
what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And he starts smashing his head on the table. And then he screams, and then he falls unconscious. And then the school tries to call the house. And Mom didn't answer, and she destroys all her little models that was in the house.
Oh, yeah. She
and
went
sits
berserk
on the floor. But he brings the son home, and
she told him not to bring him in the house.
Yeah. And he was
he brought him in the house.
She gave him the hands, and he put the son up there.
In his bed.
And
he was knocked out.
And, you know, so
when
that happens before he gets burned alive. But anyway, at night, he wakes up and, you know, it's dark as hell. I don't know why people don't cut on the lights in a house like that. They just never cut on the lights. I don't get it. But they just didn't fucking cut on the lights. So he's walking around in the goddamn dark, and he keep hearing like little sounds and shit. He closed the door that his parents was in, because they didn't come out of there. So he slams the door like, whoa, get the fuck up out of there. He turns the corner, he looks around. So he comes downstairs, and no, before he gets out of the bed, he sees somebody climbs over the wall.
Yes.
Did you see that? Just scurries over the wall.
Yep.
And I was like, what the fuck? Did you just see that?
Yeah.
So you think, it's gonna get him. But he walks all the way downstairs.
Yeah.
And he walks toward, because we just saw his father be burned
caught
alive.
Caught on fire. Yeah, got burned alive.
So he's walking toward there. He turns the corner and he sees next to the fireplace, because his father wasn't by the fireplace.
Right.
His father was
in the
a
middle.
Ways off.
Yeah.
But his father's burnt body is laid there.
Right.
But you see a small, like a faded image in the background, and then the camera kind of zooms in. And when it zooms in, it shows him, and then it zooms back out, and his mother's up on the side of the goddamn wall. I mean, and these are high ceilings. This isn't just like...
No, he saw two. There was two.
No. He didn't see his mother first. The camera shows you his mother.
Right.
He didn't know that it was there.
Yeah. Because there was...
The camera shows her up against his wall. No, he didn't see his sister yet.
Okay. No, but we seen it.
We seen his mother up on the wall. That was his mother.
Okay. I thought it was the sister.
No, that was his mother.
So who was in the stairs?
In the stairs.
Who was standing in the stairs at the bottom? When he turned aside, there was somebody.
Oh, that was off in the corner?
Yeah.
That was his... I think that was his grandmother.
Mm-mm, that was the mom.
No, the mom was on the wall.
Okay,
his mother ran after his ass. Remember?
Okay, his mother. Okay, but who then? Hold a second.
That was his grandmother that was in the shadows there.
Okay,
that was smiling and was fat and naked. Remember? Okay,
all right.
And then after that, he turns. And then somebody was like, ah, and then he just fucking took off running, and his mom ran after him,
ran up into the attic. Yeah. He pulled himself into the attic, and mm-hmm. he said, Mom, what he was saying, Mom.
Yeah, and she was like trying to get his ass.
Right, she was banging her head to there,
mm-hmm.
right? Then he saw the bodies.
He saw an image of the body on the ground.
Right, but then he looked up.
Then he looked up.
And his mom was... cutting off her head.
Yeah. And then he turned, and then there was like three people standing there.
Yep.
And he was like, ah! And he bust out of the fucking
jumped out of
the window and fell into like
the bushes.
The flower patch.
Right. So his spirit came out of that.
So you see something leave.
Right.
But the blue light you've been seeing throughout the movie
came into him.
Came into his back.
Yep.
And then he stands up. No, he looks to the right, and he looks at the treehouse.
Right, and his mom.
And his mom's body's floating into
the
treehouse.
With no head.
With no fucking head on it.
Right, right.
And then it goes up into the treehouse, and he looks up, doesn't say a word, and he just walks into the treehouse.
With the three people looking at, waiting on him on the side, you saw people...
Mm-hmm.
In the bushes.
Yep. And it was three of them. They were smiling at them.
Yep.
They were naked and they were just standing there. And I was like, what the fuck is this weird shit going on now?
Right.
So as he goes up there, there's people bowing. So these were real people bowing. And then there were two headless people that was bowing. And then when he looks up and sees a picture of his grandmother, and then he shifts, and then there's like a copper or straw body with a crown on top of it,
mm-hmm.
but there's a head on it, a real head on it,
mm-hmm.
and that's when you hear Joan in the background said, as this young son prince such and such, and he has arrived, and he is the third devil, the seventh devil of blah blah blah, and they put a crown on him. And it's kind of like they've been waiting for this son to die or leave the body so the spirit of the daughter would get into him so it can truly be one of the seven devils to live on earth. So the whole objective was to get the child into the body to be the ultimate prince, because the mother opened the book and it clearly explained
yes.
that the one that have the riches would be the male son or the male something. And you can see in the book, there was a male sitting on top of a lot of these rich coins and crowns and gold and everything like that. But it had to be a male because, you know, the highlighted portions kind of said that. So it all led up to that. But the lineage of that whole family said it was that family. Even though they had people that was worshiping around them, that family had the lineage or the heritage to inherit being part of that satanic cult to raise one of the seven devils. Ta-da!
That is what the movie was about.
That was amazing. It was crazy as hell. But it was amazingly written because the amount of detail that you had, or the foreshadowing that the writer did, this guy, Ari, whoever, he did such a good job. This was his first major directorial debut. And he highlighted a lot of the stuff that he did by not really being gross. He didn't. He did some shocking things, but it wasn't like it was. It wasn't gross horror, and that's what I enjoyed the most. It wasn't gross horror, so it was intelligent. You need to pay attention. You can understand, but I think there's a lot of people who wanted gross horror.
Yeah, that's so, why the rating for Rotten Tomato for the viewers was so low.
Yeah, speculating. That's what I think, because I don't go to see those movies. These are the kind of horror movies that I like to see.
Yeah.
Because it gets you into wondering what's going on and what direction it was going. And he led you down a really great, great road. Sure. With that said, movie, how do you rate this one?
I'm going to do what everybody else did, was an 8.
So I really liked it because I like intelligent writing. You know me. If you write and you direct really well, I'll give it an 8.5 because I really liked. This is some very good writing. And the writing that he did, he showed you what was going on. And by not telling you what it should be. So he laid it out and it's just perfect. So I give it an 8.5.
Okay, that was good.
Yep. Sure. We appreciate you stopping by. Always check us out every Wednesday. Every Wednesday at Fade to Black Cinema. That's our new name. You'll see it around. I'll start posting it on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and Tumblr, because I always do it on Tumblr. And you'll see it on Bougie Black Brother Network. On YouTube, because we have our podcast on YouTube as well, so you can listen to it on all podcast downloads, iTunes. Leave us some messages, leave us some comments, leave us some likes. I see a lot of likes that you put in there, or the most frequent ones that's being used, but not a lot of comments. We appreciate comments. It helps us out to continue to know what people are really listening to. Not that we're going to start changing, but we'll give you the respect and either give you a level of detail that you may want, or just be a lot more optimistic with our fans. And we know we got fans because you're out there downloading, and we thank you for that. Bougie Black Bro on Instagram and IG, BougieBlackBrother.com. You'll see us on Fade to Black Cinema. You probably still see Urban Lifestyle Cafe on some of them, so you still can find it, but look out just for the movies under BougieBlackBrother.com. But other than that, anything to finish off with, movie?
No, man. It was a good movie.
A very good movie. Worth seeing. High on my list, so worthwhile seeing. But anywho, thank you very much, and we'll see you next Wednesday on Fade to Black Cinema.
Bye.
Later.